This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threat of Exchange with Siyabe Ile. Live on Cliff Central.
Welcome, welcome. This is the Threaded Exchange live with Siyabonga Beile. We're live from Johannesburg, the best podcast station in the world. And of course, I'm talking about Cliff Central. As you all know, like every single week, we bring you fire jewels. Is it jewels, Joe? Sometimes English misses me. Hey, it flies over my head, and I say things sound a certain way in my head, but then execution is like. Close to nothing.
You know what? Let's just be like Sumizi and create our own word.
Yeah. So what do we do on this show, Joe?
We bring fire jewels.
We bring fire jewels. Yeah. We bring fire jewels. We talk to young Africans who are doing incredible things. And also we debate, you know, things that are meaningful. You know, I think for me, this platform is about just growing together on this journey called life, and for all of us to realize our full potential, and for all of us to unlock our dreams, to beat the things that are barriers to our journey. Because most of the time, especially as people of color, it's always about, "Ish, I can't do that because of where I come from." And I think this show is about, you know, let's not live in the poverty of the mind.
Yeah, and beyond that, just trying to empower other creatives and entrepreneurs out there to have access to information, to have access to networks and everything that we're doing that we can share off, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So today's show is actually quite interesting. I've got two gentlemen who I look up to, actually. Yazi, most of the time people will think the best thing about my career, I was actually telling Gershwin's brother. Hi, Gershwin. Let me actually put you
Gershwin.
On the mic. How do I say your name? Like, I feel like I call you Gershwin.
So it's cool. Yeah, I think a lot of people get it wrong. It's Gresham.
Gresham.
My parents chose for an English name for me. It always stands in my way because Indian people never could pronounce my name. You know, it's like Gresham. So,
forgive me. Let me try again. It's Gresham.
There we go.
That's correct?
100%.
So I was talking to Gresham's brother yesterday, and I was talking to him about the fact that the most beautiful things about my life and the position that I'm in is that I get to experience other people's mastery. And that's what inspires me. So by you guys being here today on the show, I get to experience your mastery, and that empowers me to go further on my journey. And that's the one thing I don't tell people, is that I always interview people and work with people I look up to.
Oh, thanks, man.
So I look up to you guys. So I've got Gresham, who is the founder of Bespoke. Which I could say it's a family-owned brand.
Yeah.
A family-owned brand. Him and his brother headed up. It's based in Sandton by the Gauteng station. And basically, they do something I've never seen before. I mean, we all know that men's fashion is moving into a very huge space. We know that we're looking at whiskeys. We're talking whiskey last week, and the week before that, we're talking other things around menswear. But also, the fashion space is moving to a space where now men are caring about their grooming rituals. Men are caring about how they look and how they feel. Men are just like, I don't want to say it, but like as men, we're becoming a bit softer, which is a good thing, because for a very long time, society has made us hard. So one of the biggest gaps in the market was a space that a man can go to and get his hair cut done, but also at the same time, have a whiskey, try on some clothing. So that is something that I hadn't seen in the space. I mean, we know that there's other brands who are doing something similar, but I've never seen it executed the way that Gresham and his brother have executed it. So we're going to dive into his journey as well. I've got also a young guy that I've always looked up to, like Michael. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sia, how you doing?
And he runs a company called MCHR, right? What does it tell the people what it stands for?
MCHR stands for Michael's Collection of Hope and Love.
Amazing, right? Yeah. So also that, like Michael's Collection of Hope and Love, like what guy at like 24, 25 decides to name his brand that way? So it shows for me that he has a lot of faith and strength when it comes to him. So with the mixture of the two of you, today I want to dive into purpose. You know, I mean, we can sit here and talk about business. People know about business, but people don't know what fuels business and what brings longevity. And I think with you guys today, I'd like to dive into that. You know, what drives your purpose, and you know, what fuels you every single day. And also our discussion that we were having offline about the fact that most entrepreneurs fail because they can't stay true to the season that they're in. Yeah. So just like months of the year, you have winters in the entrepreneurial space, and winter in entrepreneurial space means you're working, you're building the foundation for you to last. The summers is when you execute and launch stuff. So you find that entrepreneurs will be in a winter season, but they're trying to be in a summer season. And then that doesn't match up. So that's why you get a lot of people who don't build things that last. Right, Joe?
Yeah, definitely.
Joe is always nervous on the show. Why are you tense?
What?
Also, it's Joe's last show.
It is my last show.
Because you are in your winter season.
In my season, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go away for a couple of months, and then I'm going to come back with a bang.
You better come back with a six pack. Come back ripped.
You and I, actually. I think we need to start going to the gym and stop paying the gym.
Yeah. Can't the gym sponsor us because, like, we're influencers? Guys, can't that gym sponsor us? We're influencers. Like.
I think for that, we actually need to first get those six packs in.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Guys, I'm going to play a game because I feel like that's what I like to do on the show. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people trust me on my radio show because they always think we haven't gotten interview questions. We don't know what Sia might say. And I do wild out a little bit. But I think just to put you guys at ease,
that's cool.
We're going to play a game, and the game is called Finish the Sentence. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start with Gresham,
cool.
And then we're going to go to Michael. So what's going to happen is when we do Gresham, three of us will say a sentence, and he must complete it. And it can be anything. It can be anything. It could be the best fling I had was with.
Yo.
And yeah. He's married.
It's so gonna, like, get crazy.
That's
exactly.
Gonna get into trouble.
But I'm not gonna do that. Like, I support his family, so I won't. So yeah, so I'm just giving you like a rough idea of how this game works. Starts. But cool. I think since you are a co-pilot with Gresham today on the hot seat, you should start and give him a sentence he should complete, and then you're gonna go Joe, and then it's gonna be me.
Okay, cool. I'll give him something easy though. Mm-hmm. I started my business when.
When I got fed up working for the corporate, say, that's the easiest for me.
That's a straight answer.
Yeah.
Joe?
Straight up. Hmm.
My worst business experience was?
Meeting Joe Human. Nah, just kidding. worst business experience. I was trying to put Bespoken together, man. It was tough, really. You know, starting out as an entrepreneur, I mean, we touched on it earlier on. It's not easy, you know.
Yeah.
You're trying to find out where to go, what to do, where to get finances. It's tough, really.
Yeah. Cool. And my thing is, the one thing you wish someone told you about business that you found out while running your business was.
Oh. That's a.
So something like, so before you ran your business, you had an idea of how business mm-hmm. works. I mean, you've worked in corporate, but when you become an entrepreneur, it's a different experience. So what is that one thing? Like, let's say your son, actually, you know, you're expecting a son. Guys is expecting a son. So you're expecting your son, and your daughter. Son says to you, daughter. So your daughter wants to go into business. What is the one thing you're going to tell her about business that she must know without a doubt?
Yeah, she needs to research, definitely. She needs to do her homework. I think one of the biggest things that entrepreneurs make a mistake in is they dive into things without doing their research properly.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't last, you know. You need to make sure you know what industry you're going into, who's your competitors, what's the barriers to success in that industry, and you know what can you do that sets you apart from everyone else and finding that niche. So yeah, definitely. I think if somebody told me before, listen, you're going to the grooming space, do your research properly, I think we would have been probably about two stores up already. But
wow.
I think it's a lesson that was learned.
Yeah.
And I think everything happens in a season, like you said. Eh?
Yeah. Mm. Cool. Thank you for those answers. Those are incredible. Yeah, so cool. Guys, do your research before starting a business.
Yeah.
Michael, what is it again? Michael's hopes of dream.
Michael's collection of hope and love.
Michael's collections of hope and love. Now, how, for me in business, faith is important because, finish the sentence.
Because it's everything. well, I think you have to have self-belief that you can actually do something before you actually get into it. Because I think a lot of people already having pressures from their friends, their family, saying that they can't do it. So having faith in yourself is very important to actually go through those difficult times and starting your business.
Definitely. Mm. Joe?
The one thing that made me find my purpose was?
Whew, that's a loaded question.
this show is deep.
It really is.
Like, we are literally 15 minutes in, we're like deep.
What did I maybe find my purpose?
Or what has pushed you to find your purpose? Mm. Or what led you to find your purpose? Let me broaden it for you so to make it a bit easier.
Okay, that's actually, yeah, a bit better. Look, I've always been a salesman since I was in high school. I was selling sweets to my friends. And I always found myself entrepreneurial, you know, because my dad also pushed us that way. And but I wouldn't say that's my purpose, really, being an entrepreneur. I think my purpose is actually spreading love to people. Because
and you spread that through your business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's my purpose, really, is actually spreading love to the people. And they must see that through my art. And my art is MCHR.
Yeah. Yeah. Gresham?
The one attribute that makes me who I am.
Damn.
Wow.
I'm getting the hang of it, yeah.
Damn. Gresham.
Man, why did you? He didn't get these tough questions like me.
Yeah.
But look, I think the one attribute I'll say is God, really. Actually, like when I got grounded in Him, you know, I kind of like, you know, grew and kind of knew who I was, you know, in Him, and yeah, that kind of like helped me to, you know, be me.
To get to where you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Cool. Thank you guys for playing the game. You guys are good sports. Yeah. I think Joe was a bit of an ass, but I mean, it's Joe, as we know.
Yeah, we know it's Joe.
I just blame everything on Joe. Like, if I mess up, it's like, it's Joe.
Yeah, it's Joe.
I feel like even when I text you, I'm always like, Joe, you haven't done this. Joe's like, but it's done. I'm like, Joe, it's your fault. I didn't know.
See, I have that.
But let's get into it, guys. I'll start with Gresham. What made you, I mean, you in corporate, very successful, you're working for BM, you're working for a car company, dude. Like, I see people in car companies, I'm like, fuck, those guys are rock stars. They're driving nice cars for great deals, car companies make money.
Sure.
You were there for like, well, over a decade, right?
Oh, yeah, almost 10 years with Mercedes and
almost a decade, yeah. Mercedes-Benz, everybody loves Mercedes-Benz. Why leave?
So I think, you know, from a young age, I mean, from the time when I was a young kid, I was always exposed to... how can I say, you know, fashion and I think I blame my parents because, you know, they always used to dress me up in suits from the time I was 2 years old and always wanted me to look good. And I think that resonated with me throughout my growing up as a childhood. When I got into corporate, it gave me the opportunity to use what I had because, you know, working the 9-to-5 in corporate, you're in a suit and tie every day. Yeah. You need to look good. Also had a sales. I mean, I headed up sales. So, you know, you went into a meeting. And what I found was when I walked into a room, people took notice of you, your appearance, before you even spoke.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated with the concept because, you know, if you went into a meeting and people saw you, and you were dressed well, you looked good, people took you seriously. And I mean, let's face it, how many times has it happened to us today when, you know, especially in corporate, you need to look the part, you need to play the part. And people always used to ask me, listen, but, hey, you know, why is your hair always so good? You know, how do you get your suits to fit you? And I said to myself, listen, but clearly people are not educated.
Yeah.
People do not know that, listen, they need to look after themselves. They need to make sure that looking good gives you confidence. And you know, I think after 10 years, I decided, listen, corporate was enough for me. And I wanted to explore and I wanted to share with people this passion I have for grooming. And that was obviously the birth of Bespoken. So I sat back and I said, well, Bespoken. So when you walk into a room, you speak on behalf of yourself before you even open your mouth. And that's where Bespoken came from. So Bespoken is your appearance, you speaking on behalf of yourself before you even open your mouth.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about that, and I think why I brought you guys together for one interview, I also think the disparities are different in terms of your journeys, but the purpose is similar. Because I think you come from a corporate background to start Bespoken. Mm-hmm. You don't come from a corporate background. So because a lot of young people ask this question every single day, Sia, do I need to go work for someone and then become an entrepreneur? Or do I need to straight off the bat become an entrepreneur? And I think either way works.
Sure.
Definitely. I think for me, it's just about the season you're in.
Yeah.
So Michael, how did you begin, you know, Michael's Collections of Love?
Well, I've always been interested in clothing since high school. My friends and I started a brand called Sigala Cake in high school.
What kind of cake are we talking about?
Exactly.
What kind of cake are we cutting in
birthday
high school?
Birthday cake. I'll leave it at that. And then, well, a lot of, we didn't have a lot of structure in it, you know. We just wanted to start a brand, and we started it. And I was involved in it. I used to sell a lot of the t-shirts that we used to make. And when I got to varsity, I had a very big interest in suits. And because my dad, just like Gershom here, dressed me up in a suit when I was 7 years old. And I'm a church boy, so at church, people would say, "Oh, you look so good in the suit." So I used to like wearing the suit because it made me feel powerful and feel like, you know, good about myself. So then when I got to varsity, I'm like, okay, let me start a suit company. And I was starting accounting though at Wits. And then it was quite a hard to like, kind of like juggle the two and so forth. However, I just finished my degree. And then in my honors year, I decided to drop out and pursue this full time. And that that came from my brother, my older brother, Emmanuel. He gave me the confidence to actually like
Emmanuel.
Step out.
I think I met you right before I met you, ne?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
This is so crazy. But, like, both of you have met your wild brothers.
Emmanuel is wild, definitely. Yeah. And he was very inspirational in my life. I've always looked up to him since I was very young.
Yeah.
And he started his business. He dropped out of varsity when he was in first year, actually. And we also, we spoke down upon him, like I mentioned earlier. We said, you can't do that. You have to go corporate first. Go the, you know, the...
mainstream.
The mainstream route, you know, every time. And but he became a success in his own right.
Yeah.
And that gave me belief and gave me faith that I can also do it. If he can do it, I can do it too. And that's what gave me the confidence to break in and start
to break in and do the business.
Yeah, and do MCHL.
Yeah, now to ask both of you, before Joe asks the hardcore questions. So, because having an idea of a business and executing business is two different things. Because a lot of people think they're business people, but they're not necessarily executing business. What was the process like? And I'm asking both of you now, what is the process like for you to move from a position of this stability, good job, you've almost been there for 10 years, and probably if you stay there another 3-4 years, you'll probably climb the ranks to executive level.
Yeah.
Now, a guy in my space, or people listening like, "Oh, you're fucking crazy, you're working for Mercedes-Benz, it's a stable company, long heritage, amazing cars, good money for pay, why leave that for business?" And even when you are leaving that for business, how do you move from a stable job and then adapt into a business mindset of, okay, there's no 9-to-5 now, I need to actually work and build a structure? How did you go about building that? And then also from you going from high school, varsity, having being under your parents' wing, having an older brother, being that brother that was always protected, and now all of a sudden you're like, I'm dropping out of my honors, I'm pursuing business. How did you also then adapt from that space of stability in terms of school and family, and then all of a sudden you're out on your own? So I think let's start with you, Gresham.
Yeah, I think it's a an amazing question, and I think if you've got a good supporting structure behind you, I mean, in my instance, for example, I mean, you know, my wife was when I approached her, you can imagine her face when I said, "Listen, I'm resigning next week."
She's like, "I want a baby in 3 years." Like, come on.
I'm resigning in a week's time, and I'm starting Bespoken Man. And I mean, she, you know, I can remember it clearly. She said to me, "Is that really what you want to do? Is that your passion? Is that what, if that's what makes you happy?" And I think it's important. You know, when we wake up in the morning, does our 9-to-5 make us happy? You know, when you get up in the morning, when you're getting ready, when you get into the office, is that what you want to do? So many people are scared to take risks today. And unfortunately, I was scared as well. But I think if you've got a good supporting structure behind you that can back you, it made the decision a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
You know, where she said, "Listen, go ahead. I support you 100%. Whatever happens, at least you know you've taken the risk." And I think if you don't take the risk, you'll never know. And it's scary, I must say. I think we all can relate as entrepreneurs. You know, when you start out on a new venture, there's a lot of questions that you have about, like you said, I mean, being in a corporate for 10 years, you think, you know what, you can come out and just open something. But there's so many lessons that I learned that no corporate can teach you when you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I think it's just instinct that kicks in. And And if you really got a passion for something, man, let me tell you something, you make it work.
Yeah. And for you, Mr. Michael?
I like how you said instinct kicks in. You know, it's like, I think it's also survival instinct kick in, because it's either you're going to eat or you're not going to eat, really.
Yeah.
It's all up to you. But for me, jumping from varsity into business was really tough, because, like you said earlier, my path was almost set for me. I was going to finish my honors and I was going to do my articles for 3 years, then I was going to become a CA, then from there probably be senior manager and so forth, and, you know, raising the ranks. Yeah. The path was very clear. Whereas with entrepreneurship and business, it's not so clear at all.
Yeah.
You don't know which direction you're going to go into, where you're going to end up. However, I had a lot of support from my parents and my older brother. They believed in me. They said, we're going to be here for you. And they also asked, like, questions. I asked him, are you sure that this is what you want to do? And I said yes. And it wasn't easy, and it's not easy still right now. But we believe and we keep on fighting, you know. And it makes you a better person. You get to learn a lot more about yourself. And when I left varsity, I had so much free time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Actually, that's one thing I want to actually highlight. So most of the time, people and business, people think when you just start to decide you want to run a business, you leave your job and, like, next week the business is up and running. Like, people don't understand there's this long period of time
of
where you're beating your head against the wall, because you're just like, what am I doing? How am I doing it? How do I get into this space of doing this? How do I... Because also I believe as human beings, we are like computers and we are preset differently. Yeah. And the jobs and the careers that we take change those settings. So you have a setting of being in sales. That's your setting. That's, I'm in sales. This is my job. Now you go to run your own business. There's no job title. You do everything. You go from, I'm studying. I hate studying, but I'm studying because I'm going to work, make money. And then you go into a space where there's no teacher for exams. There's no one checking on you on, did you do this? Yeah. No one cares, but you still have to stress about the bills. And I want to highlight that about you guys and tell me, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs who are listening, who are at home right now, sitting on Google and like, fuck,
where do I even start
with this thing? Yeah. Oh my God, websites are too expensive to build. Like,
true.
And people don't understand that that's part of the process.
It's a journey.
Where you're breaking an old habit, you're breaking into a new habit. And that requires for you, it's almost like when you start business, it's like you're on a bicycle, you keep falling, but you keep getting back on every day. You keep falling and you keep getting back on until such a time you perfect the ride. So tell me, what was the process for you guys to get into these spaces that were sort of like stable? Now you jumped the ship and you're now starting the business. The distance between then and where you are now, where now you have a rhythm, you've got a team, you've got things happening. How did you get that rhythm going? What are some of the things that you did? Did you watch YouTube channels? Did you go seek help from someone? How did you get that rhythm of, okay, I'm running a business now. This is how I'm going to operate. This is what I want to build. Just run us through that a little bit.
Oh, well, so I started maybe with looking at close friends and family, trying to sell to them first, actually, because you think, okay, I've got my tailors ready now. I know where to get my fabrics and so forth, but you have no customers. So you actually don't know where to begin, how to even pitch your marketing plan or whatever the case may be on Instagram. And for me, I said, okay, let me start at home. Let me start small.
Yeah.
And I learned and I made a lot of mistakes making suits for my dad and my older brother, you know, and they can forgive me because it's them, you know, but the world is not so forgiving, really. If you make a mistake with them, that's it. You're actually paying back the money to them. And so, I started with them and I learned from there. Okay, cool. I need to maybe take more time. I must let them know that, okay, your suit is going to come 2 weeks prior to what my workers have told me, because a lot of people don't know that, okay, there's a process that goes on in the background, and our customers don't really understand that. So I have to also make sure that I make allowance for that when I do communicate with my customers.
Yeah.
And that helped me a lot, you know, starting off with my first few customers. Mm-hmm. And to get into where I am now, it took a few orders, it took a few customers, angry ones, happy ones, and then trying to find that balance, really, to say, okay, look,
yeah,
this is the formula that does work. Let me continue doing that. Yeah. And look, I'm still growing right now. I've got my creative director here, David, who also now helps me.
David is the coolest guy, guys. If you see him, he looks like Black Jesus.
Literally, yeah.
So for you, the starting point was, no matter what, let me just create. Let me start by creating. I don't know the rules. Let me create something. Let me get critic and build from there.
Exactly.
Perfect. Exactly. And for you?
Yeah. So for me, I think it was a learning experience. I mean, I watched a lot of YouTube, as you mentioned. Instagram was also, I mean, you know, in the US and in Europe, barbering is huge. I mean, grooming is, I mean, you know, Sia, you've traveled a lot. Guys, really, they're doing amazing things. And we obviously looked at what was happening around us in the rest of the world and said, how do we adapt it? How do we localize it? How do we offer something that we can give to clients in terms of grooming? But how do we break this concept and make it our own?
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was trial and error. You know, we went through a lot of guys in the beginning, staff coming up and down, leaving us, you know, trying out new products, trying out different things. So, yeah, I guess when you start out, it's about making sure, and sleepless nights, a lot of sleepless nights when everyone else was sleeping. I was the one on YouTube and Instagram watching what everyone else is doing, trying to be ahead of my game.
I mean, you guys both look like perfectionists. And being a perfectionist is both a curse and a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you were starting to be a chartered accountant. Jeez, man, that's like hectic. You are at Mercedes-Benz. So you both you're working in careers that require that extra attention to detail. Now, one of the worst things I find, and I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs go through that are perfectionists, is that they can't stand the trial and error phase. Because you went from being sales, where this is something you knew, you masters. I mean, you're at for almost 10 years. You're in varsity doing your honors. You're like, I'm killing this. Like, I've got a degree. Let me go get another one. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to a space where you're basically in grade one in the space, where now you have to go from grade one to matric in like a month. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How did you guys have the emotional stability to go through that? Because I think one of my biggest problems I had when I started my business, I'd go through depression because I felt like I wasn't good enough. Why am I not quick enough? Why am I not getting this? Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's taken me such a long, I think even in my 5 years of business, only this year I'm starting to understand that time is a good thing. If something doesn't work out, it gives me more time to perfect it. So how did you guys handle that stress? Also with you, like you have a wife who's like, how are things going? And you're like, well, I've been watching YouTube clips for a week now.
And you still need to be there.
And also like family asking you, how is this going? Like, when are we seeing the product?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So how did you guys remain calm and also stable within trusting that, you know what, this is a process. I will get to that mastery level.
I think for me, it's been a challenge. You know, it's true what they say. I saw a pic once on Instagram. It was a chart, the life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it shows, so, you know, when you start in the morning, you're like, yes, we're going to do this. Everything's great. And then halfway through the day, you're like, shit, I can't do this. You know, it's tough. And then, no, we're going to do this. Things are great. And it's just like an emotional roller coaster. So you could go through a number of different emotions in a day, and then, you know, you get home and you think, you know, is this going to work? Am I going to make it? Are we going to succeed? For me, it's finding solace, and we spoke about this earlier on, is taking time out just to reflect on yourself, you know, and saying, listen, you've come so far, you've taken the risk, you've gotten to this level.
True.
Is it worth it to just let everything go because things are not happening in the time that you want it to happen? Or give it time. You know, I mean, nothing happens in a day. We spoke about brands like Mercedes-Benz growing, evolving over years. I mean, Coca-Cola sold 25 bottles in their first year. You know, if that isn't motivation for us today to say, listen, look at Coca-Cola. I'd love to one day meet the marketing guys from Coca-Cola.
Jay-Z was a drug dealer until he was 27.
You know? So I think there's hope for all of us. And it's, really? it's just finding that thing within yourself to motivate you and keep yourself motivated, you know, and also people around you make a huge difference, you know.
Yeah.
Support structures are really, really, really keen.
Amazing. Guys, please don't forget, if you're listening in, you can WhatsApp us your messages on 079-748-2090. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com. And we actually, after the song, I want to get into a debate about you guys. I think most of the times when it comes to entrepreneurs, we always think about structure, money, operations, but no one talks about the wholeness of the person. And one of the things that struck me quite well with you guys is that you come from a great family. You're men of faith. You have a wife. You've got a kids. You've got a family. And no one looks at that, you know, because I believe as an entrepreneur, because I feel that your private life can teach you a lot about how you carry yourself in your business life. Sure. I mean, if you're not disciplined in your private life, I don't see how you can expect to be disciplined with R1 million. Do you get what I'm saying? Sure. But also, I don't understand how you can have faith if you don't practice faith in your private life or surrounded by people who practice that faith with you. Sure. So I actually want to talk about that. And I think, and in South Africa, as people of color who are learning about wealth, we focus money, but we don't focus on the value or the wealth of who we are as people and how we grow as people. So I really want to talk to you guys about that right after this track. Let's go.
You're back live on the Threaded Exchange. I'm here with CIB.
Can you say that with excitement? Be like, yo, this is Joe
Human. This is Joe Human, and you're back on the Threaded Exchange. This is a conversation that is progressive, young, and brave. And in studio, we are still chatting to Michael and Gresham. And just before the song, we were actually speaking about the entrepreneurial journey and how that has worked out for you guys. But linking back to what initially we want to go into for the next set of the show is how your personal lives actually play an important role in your business life. Because as Sia was saying, like, Michael is a man of faith, Gresham is a man of faith, I'm a man of faith. I mean, my dad's a bishop and I grew up in the church, grounded in faith. Mm-hmm. And that getting into the creative space and meeting different people from different cultures, different sexual orientations has changed a lot of my perspective on how to do business, has changed a lot of my perspective on faith itself, you know. So how important is your personal life and what role does it play into your business?
Well, mine plays into the name itself, Hope and Love. Mm-hmm. It comes from the verse, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Mm. But the greatest of these is love. So that's where I got my inspiration. Actually, my girlfriend gave me that name when we were discussing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she's like, well, you're a person of faith, like you just mentioned, and you like to share love with people. So why don't you make it this? And it resonated with me. I'm like, okay, I'm going with that. And it just came from a conversation from someone asking me, what does MCHL stand for? And I had no answer for them. And then she came with this, and then it stuck with me. And my dad's also a pastor. So
PKs.
We are blessed.
PKs in the house.
Blessed.
Let's start a church.
Hashtag blessed.
Right?
Literally. You can literally hashtag I'm blessed. You don't say it, but my dad's a pastor.
Yeah,
so I'm
man.
Blessed. I've got two. We blessed, Christian.
Yeah, 100%.
Your store opening is going to be.
I'm starting a church after this.
I pray for abundance and I receive.
Amen.
Yeah.
So yeah, growing up in the church, it comes with a lot of challenges, to be honest, because there's a lot of pressure. People are looking at you
always.
To be perfect. Mm. And unfortunately, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall down sometimes. And with my brand, I'm trying to show people that, okay, look, I'm not perfect, but I still have something to share with you. And that's hope. And hoping you, that you have something, that, you know, there's a plan for you, that you will prosper. And that there's love in this world, and you know, God is love, and that's what I'm trying to bring.
I feel like I'm Oprah hosting Super Soul Sunday. I'm reaching my Oprah level.
Yeah, I think you are.
And Gresham,
and Gresham with you, yeah.
Yeah, just from like a very emotional angle, because I know what it's like being an entrepreneur. It's emotionally draining. You know, there's certain things that you go throughout the day that just kill your emotions and kill your vibe. But with you, like, how did you handle, you know, being in a marriage? You know, because I mean, your partner is someone that needs that emotional.
Like, he doesn't have a gray hair. Yeah, he looks like, so clean. He's so proper.
Yeah, that's because I go to bespoken men.
You don't look like you run a business, and I don't say it in a bad way, but like, yeah, exactly like what you're saying. Like, you don't look stressed. You look so calm. You're expecting. You have to go fetch your wife later. There's a business that's running right now. Yeah. But you are so chilled, bro.
So I think one of the things that I found is that in whatever business you do, you are the business.
True.
Mm. It's for example, Siyabile, you are your brand yourself. So yeah. Gresham Pillay is a brand on his own, and Bespoken Man is a offspring of me as a brand.
Yes. Yeah.
So what I find is though, my values that I live need to live. Needs through to be brand. Through the brand. So for me, it's very important. And I mean, you know, you guys mentioned your dads are pastors. I go to church on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So for me, it's important that I disengage on a Saturday. And I say, listen, guys, you know, you be there. I'm going to church. I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I come back. But if you want your brand to do what you want, you need to believe in it. You need to do it. Yeah. So I'm there at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I might look good now, but I pick up a mop. I mop, I sweep, I make sure the place is perfect. So when my clients walk in, that's the experience they get. And it's the same, it's at home, you know. I want to make sure, I think, again, perfectionist thing can kill you because you want to make sure everything is always on its place, everything is neat. Sometimes the guys actually get a bit upset with me when I'm in the store because I'm always watching them like, have you offered the client something to drink, you know. And afterwards, they're like, but we know what we need to do. I'm saying, well, then do it.
Yeah.
Let's make sure. Let's.
Yeah.
I mean, can you guys relate to that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask? I'm going to ask something personal. Yeah. And I mean, I've been someone who's been in business for 5 years. And one of the things I admire about you guys is your level of discipline. And not a lot of entrepreneurs have discipline. And I think discipline is so important to last in the long run. Like, sure. I remember with my life for the last, well, not this year, but the last 5 years, is that I became successful so young, but I wasn't disciplined for that success. And I did a lot of things and my company almost crashed, right? And now I'm in a phase where I'm rebuilding and things are really coming together. But then the transition, even now I have a girlfriend now, things are stable.
Hey.
But then I still feel that thing of flip, I want to go out. But then I'm like, no, I'm in a season of working on myself, rebuilding to last. Had you guys always had this discipline that you have? I mean, you talk about your girlfriend all the time, so you've always been someone that I've seen as very stable, very level-headed. You are married. You've been married for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think most of the time, as I said before, we always focus on the products, but we're not focusing on the person behind the products. I've started watching a lot of documentaries about wealth, and all these billionaires are married. They're either married or they've been in a long-term relationship. They family life, their holistic life is so together.
Yeah.
How did you guys gain that discipline? I mean, were you players at some point and you decided actually, you know what I'm saying? Because I believe your private life, your private life is a testament of your business life.
Sure.
So if you're undisciplined with money in your business life, you're not disciplined with money in your private life. So I wasn't disciplined in my private life because I was like, oh, I'm cool. I'm Siyabile. I'm going to run the world. You can't tell me shit.
Yeah.
And then that lack of discipline then fell into my business. So how did you guys understand that one of the major keys of business is to make sure that you've got the right people, you've got the faith covered, you've got family covered, you've got, you know what I'm saying? You look after your body, you look after your spirituality. How did you guys realize those major keys?
So I think for me, one of the major turn points in my life was when I actually moved to Johannesburg to do my degree. So I'm a boy from Nelspruit all the way in Mpumalanga, and you know what, used to just kicking it back, laid back, and you know, leaving home and coming to a big city, big town, I had to fend for myself.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for people who have gone on that journey, it's something that really, it's a life-changing experience, because now you need to learn responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, when you're living at home with your parents, everything's cool. You can go out party on a weekend and do whatever you want, because you know, listen, hey, my parents got me covered. You know, I've got, but you know, when you move to another town, and you need to start fending for yourself. You know, you're here to study, you need to do something. It's a hustle, and if you're not disciplined, I've seen so many guys come. Joburg is a crazy place, man. You either make it or it breaks you,
yeah,
eh? And I guess it was being disciplined and telling myself, listen, I'm here for a purpose. This is what I need to do. I need to get through university. I need to get that degree because I want to make something of myself. You know, I want to be successful, not for other people, but for myself.
I think that's important. So key.
You know,
that's because then ego.
Yeah.
And you, Michael?
I read a book called Start With Why, and that basically just talks about
written by.
Ooh, I forgot the
what's
writer.
It called? What is it called?
Start with why.
Start with why. Everybody, yeah. If you're listening, listen to the book. Well, read the book or listen to it online. Start with why.
Okay. Yeah, and it spoke about Apple and how they based their business not on the product, but on the reason why the business started. And if you see with Apple, they try to target people like who think different and innovators. Mm. We look for the anomaly. We look for the person who, and that's their marketing strategy.
The outliers.
Yeah, the outliers. That's always been the marketing strategy from the beginning. And the product, which becomes the iPhone, is just like the end product of the reason of why
the
they started.
The offspring of the purpose.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And so when I started MCHR, I started with that in that reason. Why am I starting this business? Why am I creating a clothing brand? Why not a mining company like my older brother? Why not bespoken like my friend over here?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe because it's something that's closer to my heart. Clothing is closer to my heart. So I drew a lot of those things on my vision board and said, okay, this is the reason why, and this is how we're going to get there. And that has really helped me to kind of like, when you deviate, when you think, like we were speaking earlier, when you look at money, you kind of get like, you know, sidetracked because you're chasing the check.
Brother, it used to make me dizzy. I used to look at my bank account and think, oh Jesus, I'm going to fly to New York tomorrow and make it pop.
Right?
Like, because that's the ego, because yeah. Exactly what you, and I think this is so important. It's so, so, so important because 99.9% of entrepreneurs get into that space, especially I think before when you start, you are not in that space, but then once you experience a bit of that first million, it becomes that rush and then you end up living for the ego. So
exactly.
That's why I want to drop things now quickly. I want to show people I'm still alive. I'm still the brand. But what I find about you guys, which is something I still want to dig deeper into because you're not giving me enough, is that you in fashion. I'm in fashion. People in fashion are too cool. It's all about ego. Yeah, it's all about... I'm in the club with this girl. I'm driving this car. I spent through your Instagram. You're not a flashy guy. You always talk about purpose and building. I go through your Instagram. It's literally, I can tell the purpose of you. How, there's so many temptations. There's so many things happening. But you still, when I look at you, you're just Michael. You're chill.
Yeah.
You know, but you dress Maps, for example.
Yeah.
You make suits for Maps. But you're not out here saying, oh, I'm that guy that makes suits for Maps. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
You're still like... this is my purpose. The person doesn't represent my purpose. It's just I'm this part of my job type of thing. You have different people that cut your hair at your shop, but you don't go. Even that day where they cut my hair for the magazine cover, you guys are like, oh, look at us, we cut Sia Bailey's hair. you still run your, you're like, oh, this is dope, but life goes on. Let me keep my purpose. How do you maintain that? Like, is it a daily practice of prayer? Is it a daily thing where you have an outlet to talk to your brother? What is it that keeps you on that straight and narrow? Even when you fall off, how do you get back on?
So I think for me, it's you know, it's reflection. And exactly what you said, you know, every week we look at the previous week and say, listen, guys, you know, what have we done? What are we doing right? And how can we improve what we're doing? How can we better what we're doing? Because I think inevitably in life, it's a cycle of how do we better ourselves?
Yeah.
You know? And in so doing, it's kind of, that's what motivates me, you know?
Yeah.
For our clients to come in the store and get the experience, how do we maintain that experience?
Yeah.
Because it's consistency that will keep longevity. And
yeah.
I think that's important for us in our business because grooming is not a season. Grooming is something that
it's
a ritual. It's something that you do on a daily basis. It's something, and it's got nothing to do with fashion or style. It's about confidence. It's about your own confidence in who you are. So you could wear Armani or you could wear H&M or you could wear Mr. Price. It's how you wear it that makes the difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's about having that confidence in who you are. So yeah.
Amazing. And with you, Michael, how do you, being so young as well, also I think the age gap plays a big role. I mean, you're more mature, so you've seen it all.
Yeah.
So you're also very young where you're experiencing levels of fame you've never experienced before or experiencing territories you've never experienced before. How do you always drive yourself back to that essence of family and love and God and faith? How do you keep that with you all the time?
Look, like you said earlier, I do fall sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
I would be lying if I said I was perfect and I keep it, you know, together all the time. However, when I do fall, I have to recognize very quickly that I have fallen, and then I have to like almost retreat and say, okay, what's going on, Mike? Talk to myself almost in the sense to say, okay,
yeah,
why are you feeling like this and why are you down? And then try to pick myself up from there. And so I try, again, surround myself with a lot of people that support me. Like I said, with David, I stay with him and I have conversations with him sometimes. And then I'll say, listen, bro, I'm feeling like this. I don't know where we're going with this brand. People think we're here, but we're still far away from our target. And I think the main thing you have to keep in mind is that it's a long-term game.
Yeah, it's about the next 10 years. Not,
exactly.
Sure. Not the season. Yeah. The season does not define you. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think keeping the long-term in vision all the time is important.
Amazing. Yeah. I think to close off the show, I'm actually going to include you, Joe, as well. I need you guys to tell me what season in your business journey you are on and what that season means for you and your business, starting with Gresham.
That's a very interesting question. I think for us and Bespoken Man in general is, you know, we're in a phase or season of building. We're finding who we are as an identity, as a brand, and also finding what's our niche. What do we have that's a niche that we can latch onto that makes our experience different to what everyone else is doing? You know, we've come across so many tempting offers to say, listen, let's expand, let's take it somewhere else, let's add this to the business. And as tempting as it is, this is our season for building. And when we get to that stage, I think we'll be ready. But for now, we're building.
Yeah. Amazing. And you, Michael?
We're in a growth phase, actually, I'd say. We're in between a growth phase and the beginning phase.
Yeah.
Now, this is my second year of MCHL.
Yeah.
And we've come to a point where the demand is actually increasing and we cannot meet that demand. And there's something wrong with our system.
Yeah.
So we're trying to fix that.
So you're between winter and spring almost.
Yeah.
Because spring is looming, but you're like, ish, spring needs to wait a little bit. Like, we need to just...
Exactly. Yeah. We need to tighten up a few loose ends, you know, and cut off a few loose ends, should I say. Because I don't want to my product to, like, decrease in value.
And quality.
And quality, just because I want to sell more units.
Yeah. Chasing the ego.
Exactly.
That's actually quite interesting. Yeah. That's actually quite interesting because... It's almost similar to a point where, how do you get to a point where you outgrowing your space, and you know you want to offer the same level of service to your clients,
yeah.
But knowing that, listen, in that growing phase, you've outgrown that.
Mm.
So
yeah.
How do you adapt and quickly change it to make sure that you catch up?
It's quite tough, actually.
Oh man, it's been a crazy ride for us. You know. Building an ideation agency has not been the easiest thing, especially on the African landscape. But I think the last 2 years has taught us quite a lot. And right now, I would say, just like Michael, we're in between the growth and the building space. Because last year was the worst year we've ever had, ever. Like,
yeah.
I never want to experience that. But right now, it's about understanding our niche, understanding what how do we communicate the kind of brands that we have right now, and how do we then expand for exposure in trying to position ourselves in brand placement in terms of getting the right clients. So we're currently fixing systems in-house to say, okay, look, we're going to cut out X, Y, and Z, and we're going to position ourselves in this way so that we can then reach our growth.
Amazing. So if people are listening out there, guys, understand that entrepreneurship is a journey, not a destination, number one. To build, name any brand in the world that you like, Mercedes-Benz, Jameson, any brand in the world that you love.
Yeah.
If you research their history, you'll find that they're on top of the world today because they've done the 50 years of grafting.
Exactly.
So understand that if you're starting a business today, know that it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. The vision's not going to come to you. It's not an epiphany. You grow through doing. If you feel you don't have the equipment, try by hand. If you're running out of materials, use your clothes. Like, start somewhere, guys. Yep. Start somewhere. Yeah. I mean, Coca-Cola used to be medication. Imagine, like, 25 bottles were sold in the first year of Coca-Cola. So don't be so hard on yourself. You know, give yourself the patience and the time. Another key lesson from today's show is focus on you as a person as well. while you're building, build your business with the one hand, build yourself with the other at the same time, because your success of your business needs to match up you as a person. You can't not be disciplined in your private life, but then you want to be a billionaire. You can never be a billionaire if you're not disciplined. The two have to match. You can't want to be a billionaire and have a work ethic of someone who earns R1 a month. You know, you got to match up to the occasion. You only rise to the level you want to be at if you yourself is ready for that level. Your business can be ready, but if you ain't ready, it all falls flat. Sure. So thank you guys for listening. Where can you guys catch you? I mean, Bespoken Man, tell us social media. When are you launching the new store?
Yeah, so we're quite excited. We're launching a new store in about 2 weeks' time at the Gauteng station. But you can catch us on Instagram at Bespoken_Man and Facebook Bespoken Man.
Perfect. And then Michael?
Awesome. You can catch online store on www.mchl.co.za. On Instagram, mchl_taku. Twitter, mchl_taku.
Great. And Joe, I mean, this is your last show, but people can still find you if they want dope websites. Where
are
we finding
definitely.
You?
Yes, definitely. We're at C Mind Space. So it's C Mind Space.
Guys, I'll still try and smuggle Joe in here, so don't stress. He's not going to be gone long. But also, I mean, very exciting. With Michael, I'm trying to convince him to make me suits for when I go to Europe in June. Yeah. And also, I'm speaking to Gresham about keeping me groomed up. So, you can also look out for them on my side. I mean, I tagged you guys on Instagram. So, if you guys go on my Instagram, you can find their links there. And whenever I'm working with them, I'll always share their work and stuff. And definitely with the new Threader Man website, you'll see a lot of their work there. And I think that's what Africa is about, collaboration. It's about being together. It's about supporting each other. There's plenty of money to be made. We don't have to be competition. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And thank you for being here. I mean, thank you, Joe. It's been a good 2 months. I think you've done like 10 episodes with me.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Join us again next week. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.